All right. Good morning, everybody. Thanks again for coming out for the Zoom service. If you're listening by radio or internet, Teresa and Jordan and I went to Lake Tahoe. One of the things that's always been on my bucket list was to go to that celebrity golf tournament in Lake Tahoe. It's when they have a lot of the famous athletes and some of the Hollywood people. We're more interested in the athletes. And it's a beautiful setting. And Lake Tahoe was generally one of the prettiest places I've ever been to. But we did get to see Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, probably three of the four best cornerbacks in the NFL. We didn't get to see Mr. Tom Brady. I guess he didn't come out playing these things. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. But I'm looking forward to getting home tonight. We're going to head to Gilbert, pick our dogs up. And we're going to be in Sierra Vista tonight, be back online. And we don't have any more trips planned until the week after Christmas. Nothing else is planned. So if you've been following along with us, we've been talking about the fact, have you been epistle lighted? And we're going to go another direction, let everybody know how this played out, and then we'll tell you what we're going to do starting tomorrow. But what we did, and we had a lot of people follow along with us, we went through the epistles, and Chris is out there. He knows those are the books of Romans through Jude. And every day on Facebook, we put a new verse out there from each epistle, and it ended up being 121 chapters, and we put at least 121 verses up. And so we wanted people to know that that's where you find out what the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ meant to us and to the whole world. I've threatened over and over again to finish up at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 to 21, and I'm going to do that. But in my own personal Bible study, because I want to share one thing with you that happened to me on this, going through the epistles, and have you been epistolated? One of the things that happened to me going through the epistles was I didn't do as much personal Bible study. I know that sounds strange, but I didn't do as much personal Bible study time because I was so concerned as I would look at the chapter trying to figure out what verse I wanted to post on Facebook. And I got more concerned about what I wanted to post on Facebook than I did actually studying it for myself. So anyway, what we're going to do starting tomorrow, I'm going to introduce the subject on Facebook. We're going to start a series called Discovering Jesus Through the Gospel of John. Discovering Jesus Through the Gospel of John. And so, James, what I want to do is probably keep that same picture of me and put the new title that we're going to go chapter by chapter in the Gospel of John for at least the next 21 days, because John has 21 chapters. What I did this time was I went ahead and in my own personal Bible study time, I went ahead and read the Gospel of John for myself and studied it for myself so I would be able to talk about these things from a more enlightened perspective, if that makes any sense. So what I'm going to do this morning, before we get over to 2 Corinthians, because we're going to finish up over there, and we're never, ever going to be done talking about the epistles and bringing up epistle verses. We'll never be done with that, because that's what you have to feed the church. That's what the church needs to understand and know if they're going to live successfully as Christians. I'm going to actually read some verses out of John's gospel, and then we're going to go from there and end up over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so John's gospel chapter 17, verse 3, these are some of the most amazing verses I read. Like I told you, I genuinely read the Gospel of John in my own personal Bible study, and I got to John 17, and I'm telling you, it's the prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father before he went back to heaven, and it's the longest prayer in the Word of God, and it's the prayer that Jesus prayed, and so you would never be wrong if you took the time to read this chapter on a regular basis. But here's what he said in John 17. We're going to read verses 3, 4, and 5. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, I don't have to to say much to anybody. I don't think I'll have to say a whole lot to anybody. We're in a mess. Our country's in a mess. The world's in a mess. People are in danger of being shot when they go to 4th of July parades. Our world has been taken captive by the spirit of Antichrist. Can I get an amen? You know, I've been alive for 63 years, and I have seen the deterioration of our society at a greater depth than I've ever seen it before. I mean, there's always been evil. Don't ever forget that. There's always been evil. And I'm talking primarily in the United States of America. I was born an American, even though I was born in Kentucky. I still counts as an American. But I'm talking about in our nation, as a country, I've never seen how badly we've deteriorated in our morals and in our beliefs. And this verse right here, and what you have to understand is this verse is going to make people mad. It's going to make people mad because what's going on in our society is they're trying to eliminate God from our society, from our country, from our government. If you see how these people act, how these pro-choice people are acting on TV and how our politicians act, you know there's a spirit of Antichrist, and you know that what they want to get rid of is the gospel. They want to get rid of the knowledge of God. And listen, this is going to bring persecution. People are not going to like us. They're not going to embrace us. And we have to have the courage to still tell people the truth. And Jesus Christ said that eternal life is this. This is what eternal life is, that they may know you, the only true God. See, the God of the Bible is the only true God. And people get mad about that because there's billions of people on the earth. There's billions of people that aren't acclimated to the God of the Bible. But if they don't know the God of the Bible, they don't know the only true God. That's who Jesus Christ said that he was. And there was a time in this great country, or there was a time when this once great country used to embrace that, used to believe that, and used to teach that. And we were willing to deal with the persecution that came with it. But all of a sudden, through the process of time, because the devil is a master liar, he's a master deceiver, through the process of time, slowly but surely, he began to eliminate and eradicate from people's thinking that the God of the Bible was the only true God, and it didn't make any difference who you believed and who you served and what you did, because, you know, it's just, you can be any way you want to be. And that's not true. And we have to have the courage to tell people that if you're going to get acclimated to the creator of the universe, the God who made all things, you have to know the only true God. That's who Jesus called him. Listen to this. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. See how Jesus puts himself on the same level as God the Father, as Almighty God, because he is on the same level as Almighty God, because John's gospel, and we're going to discover this in our study through the gospel of John, in our discovery of finding out about Jesus, you find out that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, listen, I have to be a little bold and a little fired up about this because I do love my country and I do love people. And the greatest lie they tell about us and the thing that'll make you want to weep and cry is they try to make us out to be the bigots and the haters. And we love people. We want people to know the one true God, because without knowing the one true God, life means absolutely nothing. Can I get an amen? And, you know, here we are in this setting doing this Zoom service, and you brave folks are out there, a handful of us, maybe less than 10 people are out here willing to listen to this, because people are going somewhere and just satisfying themselves by listening to people that'll tell them what they want to hear. And we got to quit doing that. We got to have the courage to tell people the truth. about the Bible and about God and about Jesus. And persecution will always come. You cannot avoid persecution. Jesus said that the sower is going to sow the word, and when tribulation and persecution comes. Not if tribulation and persecution comes, but when tribulation and persecution comes, we have to learn how to deal with it. And so, again, I am so grateful and I'm so appreciative of the fact that we've got a remnant of folk that are willing to fight this fight with me and willing to be able to put this information out. And I'm so grateful that God has put us in a position to where we can say these things and not be concerned that we're going to lose our congregation, because that's already happened. And you know what I mean by that. I'm not trying to take you guys for granted, but we're not trying to build a congregation. We're not trying to have a full service church. We're in this thing to try to get people to know the right information. And I'm going to say this, and people are going to get mad about it, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's very few people out there that are putting out the right information. And if you're not telling people that God the Father, the God of the Bible, is the only true God, and Jesus Christ, his son, represented him and glorified him, then you're not telling people the right information. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Donnie, for putting your hand up and giving me an affirmation. So listen to this. Verse 4. John 17:4. How many of you is excited about doing a discovery of Jesus through the Gospel of John? We've got to get people acclimated to who Jesus Christ really is. We have to. And it's good news. It's good news. I'm a little forceful about it because I've got to rattle some cages, because religion's lying to people. Religion's deceiving people. And the devil is the god of religion. I know that makes people mad, but it's the truth. The only way to know the God of heaven is to know Jesus, and he's the only true God. Listen to this, verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have glorified you on the earth. How did he glorify God on the earth? How did he glorify God on the earth? Did he make people sick? No. Did he heal people? Yes. Did he cause people to be possessed with devils and demons and want to go around and shoot innocent people on the 4th of July parade? Is that what he did? No, he cast that rotten devil out of those people. I was reading about the guy. I'm reading the Gospel of Luke now. I'm back to reading for myself. I started reading the epistles and trying to pick out verses, and I'm back to reading for myself. He cast that devil out of the man of Gadarene, or however how you say it. There was 2,000 demons in that guy. And somebody said, well, I don't believe in demons. Well, you ought to believe in demons. Are you watching our country? Demon-possessed people are doing terrible things in our nation, and we're sitting on our hands. The church is sitting on our hands and singing kumbaya. Praise God. I have glorified you on the earth. Did he heal people? Did he set people free? Let me tell you the other thing he did. He told people the truth. He was not a phony to people. He didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. He told them the truth. He ministered the gospel, the good news to people. He glorified God on the earth. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing as the church. We're supposed to be glorifying God on the earth. And we're supposed to be telling people that if you come to God and you come to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll heal your body. He'll restore your soul. He'll help you financially. He'll help you emotionally. He'll help you mentally. He'll cast the devil out of you if you need to have that done. Praise God. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I didn't know it was going to get to the point where you don't even know if you can go outside and be safe in America. And then the people that are in charge of our country are gutless and corrupt and crooked and phony and fraudulent. They don't care about anybody. All they care about is keeping the power they have. Verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. We're going to get into that. We're going to go over to 2 Corinthians and show you what that was, what amazing thing that was. But I can't get off that fact that he glorified God on the earth and ministers. There's people in church today that are having church services today that are telling people that God made them sick. That ain't glorifying God on the earth. There's no sickness in heaven. Jesus said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Healing is the children's bread. See, all that stuff is from the devil. The devil's the liar. He's the thief. He's the murderer. He's the one that's running these churches that are telling people this false information and making people think that God doesn't care about them. God doesn't love them. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Verse 5, listen to this. And nobody in the history of the world has ever been able to say this except Jesus Christ. Nobody in the history of the world. That's why I want to go through the Gospel of John. They're the greatest words ever written in the history of mankind. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. My gosh, nobody can say that. Muhammad couldn't say that. Buddha can't say that. No politician can say that. No sports athlete can say that. No celebrity can say that. Only Jesus Christ can say, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. We're talking about the eternal, everlasting, immortal, omniscient creator of the universe when we're talking about Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And it's going to cause persecution. The women on The View are never going to like people to say this. They don't want you to tell people this. It's going to cause persecution. The liberal, stinking, rotten, demonic media is never going to like this. And what the devil did, see, what he did is slowly but surely through the process of time, I'm going to take a little side journey here, because one of the things that me and Teresa do is we go on a search on these streaming services and try to find programs that we can watch. And we got hooked into this show called ER. I don't know if any of y'all has ever heard of it or watched it, but it was where George Clooney got famous. It's about an emergency room hospital in Chicago. And it started in 1994 and it ended in 2009. So it was on for 15 years. What's fascinating about it, and I've quit watching it, by the way, I quit watching it because it's slowly but surely, you can use that program to see how slowly but surely the American people and even Christians, and I want you to see this, moved away from conservative Christianity, from Bible believing Christianity, to a thing called progressive Christianity, where they no longer embrace what the Bible teaches. They no longer taught what the Bible taught. They said it's okay to be a homosexual. It's okay to be a transgender. It's okay to be whatever you want to be. And slowly but surely, and you can see how the decay of our society began to happen. I think in 1994, Bill Clinton was the president. And then you can see that by the time Barack Obama got elected, I think, wasn't it 2004 or somewhere? Anyway, somewhere in there, you can see where all these things that we used to talk about and talk against, not because we're bigots, not because we hate people, but because the Bible tells us it doesn't please the Creator. It doesn't please the only true God. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen that the God of the Bible is the only true God? And what some people, listen, let me tell you where this is going to end up, because it's very important. I need to tell you where it's going to end up. It doesn't make any difference in the grand scheme of things in eternity. Nobody's getting away with any of this stuff. You know that, don't you? What people esteem, Jesus said it in the Gospels, what men esteem is an abomination to God. So this will all be exposed and it'll all be uncovered. But the reason why it's happened is because we've gotten away from the truths of the Bible. We've gotten away from believing that the Bible is the final authority and the final word. And as long as there's breath in me, as long as I'm given this opportunity, I'm going to tell people what's in the book. I'm going to tell people. And it's good news in the book if you accept Jesus. It's good news. If you accept Jesus Christ, it's good news. If you don't accept Jesus, it's bad news. And the reason it's bad news is because you, apart from God, we have the wrong nature. We have the wrong character. We have the wrong morals. We have the wrong impulses. We have the wrong desires. Apart from Jesus, apart from becoming a new creature, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we're hopelessly and helplessly lost without the Savior. And there's only one Savior, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the only person in the history of the world who could say, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." I'm going to skip down here. I want to read a verse because it's in this prayer. I want to go down to verse 14 because you just need to know this. See, you need to know this, and you need to understand why people run away from Jesus. See, and a lot of these people that will identify, see, a lot of people want to identify as Christians. "Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I love people. I love my fellow man." See, they want to identify with Christianity, but they want to leave Jesus out. And you can't be a Christian without Jesus. Jesus is the reason there is Christianity. And let me say this to you, too. The Bible is the foundation and the basis of Christianity. Without the Bible, you don't have Christianity. And see, through the process of time, the devil just began to pollute that truth, and he began to bring in all kinds of things and say, "You can do anything you want, be anything you want to be. Don't worry about it." You know, I even remember, and I know this is the fact, so I'm safe to say this. I remember that Bill Clinton said the Bible was okay for its time, but we've moved away from the Bible. You never are going to move away from the Bible. If you move away from the Bible, you've moved away from Jesus, and you've moved away from Christianity, because that's the basis of Christianity. Can I get an amen? Now look what he says in verse 14. Let me show you what it says in verse 14. John 17, 14. You can see why I'm so excited about sharing John's gospel with people. And listen, it's 21 chapters, but I'm not going to get it done in 21 days. There's so much information in each of these chapters, but there's so many verses that there's going to be several times I'm going to highlight more than one verse, especially when you get to John chapter 1, because the first 18 chapters of John chapter 1 are the greatest words ever written in human history. And I don't back down from that for one moment. Now listen, John 17, 14, "I have given them your word." Listen to this now. I'm being led by the Lord here. I want you to see this. John 17, 14, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Listen to this. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them." Now, you just got to come to terms with that. And listen, it's hard on me too. I like people to like me. I wish this place was packed with people. And it's always been something that's always bugged me, that it hadn't been more people that wanted to hear it, that couldn't see our heart, that didn't understand what we were talking about. But we're trying to present this stuff without any filters on it. Can you see that? And if you present this stuff without any filters on it, the world's going to hate you. And Christian, or so-called Christian people that really and truly haven't embraced the word, haven't really embraced the Bible, are going to hate you too, because they want to come up with an excuse for why things are rotten and miserable and off track. And most of the time, their excuse is blaming it on God. And God doesn't do it. God's not a part of it. He's not of this world. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." He says somewhere else in here that they hated me, they'll hate you too, but I don't have time to read it. That'll get me where I want you to see. Let me keep reading. Listen to this. Let me read these verses here. "I have given them your word," verse 14, "and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Just that, and I'm going to get into that, talk about that. Verse 15, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world." See, that's what I mean. That's where courage has to kick in. That's where the strength of God, the joy of the Lord, power of his might has to kick in. It's not right to pray, take me out of here, get me out of here. No, let's dig in here and fight the good fight of faith. Amen. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. And I don't know. I'm up here in this hotel room in Las Vegas. I wish I could open that window up, shout it through a megaphone or something, and just get people to understand this stuff. I do not pray that you, but that you should keep them from the, who's the, is God the evil one? Is Jesus the evil one? No, it's the devil. And he's in charge of the kingdom of darkness. God's in charge of the kingdom of the Son of his dear love. Jesus is. It's so simple. We've made it so complicated. We've made it so theologically complicated and said, you know, God, we don't know. He's so mysterious. We don't know why these bad things happen. I do. There's a rotten devil loose. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. He's the one that gets in the minds and hearts of people and causes them to shoot innocent people on the 4th of July. He's the one that gets in the minds and hearts of people and convinces them to cut off their body parts. He's the one that gets in the minds and hearts of people and convinces them to kill babies in their womb. He's the evil one. Oh, man. Oh, man. John chapter 10 said, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know how you can say that? The evil one comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life. Y'all see that? They are not of the world, just as I am out of the world. Verse 16. Now, you know, I'm going to take a deep breath. And again, I hope people can see my heart on this. And I'm probably the least qualified person in the world to be doing this. And I don't mean that with false humility. But bless God, we have an opportunity to be able to say these things. We've been able to do it. We've hung in there for going to be 26 years in September where we fought the good fight as far as putting this information out. So I'm just going to keep doing it. Religious people are going to keep hating me. They're going to hate you. If you stand up for Jesus, if you tell people that God don't make them sick, God doesn't hurt them. If you tell people that it's the devil doing these things, and you tell people that if you don't come to Jesus and you don't come to the only true God, then you don't know God. That's going to make people mad because they're going to say, well, I want to do whatever way I want to do it. It's all immaturity. That's how we all act. We don't. I want to do it my way. Well, there isn't. It's not your way. It's God's way. I think Jordan's got a joke that he's been telling on this trip. It's Yahweh. It's not your way. It's Yahweh. I'm sorry for shouting at y'all. Wave at me and say, okay, all right, thank you. All right, now let's get over to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and this will be the verse we'll finish the epistle-like truths with for a while, these verses. And let's remember what we read in John. I don't know if anybody actually reads these chapters after we put them on Facebook, but I think what I'll do during this discovery of Jesus through the Gospel of John, I'm going to put more verses up because I did tell you, we didn't meet last week, right? We didn't meet. I did tell you 2 weeks ago that the Lord, I was out complaining, you know, feeling, like, why is it worth it? Why do it? And the Lord reminded me of a few things. I remember I told you one of the things that he told me is that doing this stuff on Facebook has made the devil madder than anything we've ever done because it gets God's word out where people can see it, and then other people share it with other people. Boy, he hates that. He hates that the word gets shared. See, if you read the book of Acts, see, you can't avoid persecution. Persecution is going to come because of the word's sake. Persecution is going to come because of the word's sake. But if you read the book of Acts, you'll find out that the one thing the devil couldn't stop was the word from spread. See, we don't want to be somebody that's stops the word. We want to be somebody where the word keeps spreading through us. Can I get an amen? So I'm looking out there. I think that's Gary in the back there, isn't it? I want to tell Gary how much I appreciate the fact that he shares these posts on Facebook. Brian's listening on Facebook. I want to tell him how much I appreciate the fact that he shares these posts. Chris Saylor has shared these posts. And so you're reaching all your friends with these verses. And just think of what we're going to be able to tell them in the John's Gospel, all this wonderful stuff we've already read. And I'm telling you, man, people's got to know this information. We got to know. And that's why these avenues and these venues that were created are an excellent opportunity to make the devil mad. Amen. In the morning, I'm going to put John chapter 1, verse 1 on Facebook. And that's going to make the devil mad. And I'm glad the devil's mad. And he comes after me and attacks me and persecutes me. But bless God, I got to be grown up enough and man enough to own up and stand courageous and fight the good fight of faith. Life's too short to just go through life and not do anything for the only true God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that? Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, James has flashed some things at me. I want to read this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, that's what we learned in the epistles. The two truths, the two main things we wanted you to learn in the epistles was that you were saved by grace through faith. And because you're saved by grace through faith, you're not the same creature you used to be. God gave you a new nature. He gave you his nature. Woo! Can I get an amen? I got everybody up here at the Residence Inn at the Marriott all fired up. They don't even know it. I'm going down there and have breakfast with them in a minute. Now, listen to verse 18. Now, listen to this, and this needs explanation. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Now, let's make sure we understand something, because some of these sovereignty of God people are going to misrepresent this scripture. Now, all things are of God. That's all good things are of God. James chapter 1 says that God cannot be tempted by evil because there's no evil in him. He don't have anything evil to give you. The all things that are of God are all the good things that he put in your recreated, reborn human spirit. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now listen, verse 19. And if you have your Bible, if you've never marked in your Bible, mark this verse. Here it is. That is that God was in Christ. Now let's talk about this a minute in relation to John 17. Let's talk about that. That is that God, the God here, is the one and only true God. He is the God of, he is the God of creation. He's God. I've located God. It's going to hurt some people's feelings when they find out it's not them. You know that? I've located the true God. The true God. That's who we found out Jesus said he was. That is that the true God, the only true God, what was he doing? He was in Christ. He was in Jesus. You know, there's people that would argue whether God's in me. Do you know that? There's people that would argue, I don't want to hurt anybody's, I think Donnie will be able to receive this. There would be people that would argue whether God was in Donnie. Can I get an amen on that? But if you are honest and sincere about the Bible, you cannot deny that God was in Jesus Christ. And again, I'm gonna hit this until people understand it. What was he doing in Christ? Was he doing bad things? Was he hurting people? Was he helping people? Was he teaching people? Was he introducing the kingdom of God to the earth, to the world? Yes, he was. That's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. That is that God, the one true God, was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. See, it's so amazing. as bad as it is, as rotten as it is, as sinful as it is, as devil controlled as it is, God has brought reconciliation to it. But the only way you get that reconciliation is through Jesus Christ. You don't get it through politics. You don't get it by money. You can't pay for it. You can't pay your way through it. You got to just receive Jesus to get reconciliation. Boy, that's a good spot for an amen. Now look at this. Not imputing, and Amplified says it like this, not holding their trespasses against us. He's not imputing our trespasses when you come to Jesus. He cancels them. He blots them out. He wipes them away as far as the east is from the west. Not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, here it is, the word of reconciliation. I got reconciliation in verse 18. I've got reconciling in verse 19. Now listen, here it is. Here it is. Remember Jesus said that I've finished the work you've given me to do, and now he's going to go back and get restored to the glory he had with the Father before the world was. Remember that? Listen, man, let me tell you something. If you want to do something worthwhile, get John 17 in your heart and get that in your mind and remember those things. But listen, Jesus is no longer walking the physical earth. He's no longer walking the physical earth. He sits at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for the saints, ever living to make intercession for us. He's not here. He left. Now, I wish he'd come back. How many of you wish he'd come back? Man, I wish he'd come back. I wish he'd land right at the capital of Washington, D.C. I wish he'd land there. Now, he's not. He's going to come to Jerusalem and land there. But I wish he'd come to Washington, D.C. That's where I wish he'd come to first. Because we got a bunch of frauds up there, boys. Now, listen, he's not there. But guess who is here? His church, his body, his people. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're God's own special people, that we should proclaim the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Here's the deal. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Man, we haven't touched that. The one true God, the only true God, is pleading through us. Through who? Through his people that have become his children through their faith in Jesus Christ. See, the reason why this thing's decayed the way it has, the reason why our morality's gotten so bad, the reason why ER went from bad to bad to bad to worse, is because the church isn't doing their job. We're not doing their job. We're not doing the job we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be bringing people, speaking the truth in love, and telling people the way it is. And we've lost millions of Bible-believing Christians, and we've got a thing called progressive Christianity, which isn't Christianity at all. It's not Christianity at all. It's not real Christianity. It's not real Christianity when you leave Jesus Christ out of the center of it. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to the one true God. But notice this. God has done his part. Now, our part as members of the body of Christ, our part is to tell people what God has done. It's so simple. I mean it. I know Brian's watching me on Facebook, but I know he's got to be nodding his head. It's so simple, and we've made it so complicated and so convoluted. The truth is, God has done his part. He did his part through Jesus Christ. God was in Christ doing his part. And that was doing it all. He paid for the sins of the whole world. He reconciled the whole world to himself through Jesus Christ. God did his part. And the real truth of the matter is now it's up to us to do our part. And our part is to tell people what God did through Jesus Christ. Man, y'all got to keep me around. That's so simple, but that is absolutely the truth. That's what our part is. Our part is to tell people what God did in Christ. And what he did in Christ was reconcile the whole world to himself. And we're the ones that have to tell it. Jesus is not telling it. His church has to tell it. I don't understand why that's so complicated. I don't understand why we've made it so complicated and so mysterious and so religious and so theological. See? And then notice this. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Notice this. It's still our choice. You don't have to receive it. You don't have to. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to receive Jesus. You can go to hell if you want to. You can stay under the wrath of God if you want to. You can stay with a bad nature if you want to. It's not, God's not making you do anything. That's why the sovereignty of God's a bunch of baloney. It's a bunch of junk. God's not making anybody do anything. It's up to us to be reconciled to God. It's up to us to tell people how what Jesus did for us, what God did for us through Jesus, and then it's up to us to receive it. John chapter 1, I'm going to quote it. I'm going to put it up in our series about discovering Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To as many as received him. He's not making anybody be saved. He's not making anybody become a child of God. He's simply giving everybody the opportunity. And the reason, the way he gives everybody the opportunity is by the church telling people what God did in Christ. And I'm telling you, folks, listen to me now. Listen, there's very few ministers that really know what God did in Christ. I know that because they're telling people that God made them sick, that God caused them to be depressed, that God wants them to be in marital strife and wants their children to be all out of whack. No. God reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and put his nature on the inside of us. And we're to go about and manifest the glory of God the same way that Jesus did on the earth. I'm telling you, that is the truth. Now, again, that's where I fall short. But just because I fall short doesn't mean I'm not going to tell people that's how it ought to be. Now, somebody said, well, that's being a hypocrite. Well, that's okay. I understand that, but I'm still going to tell people that's how it ought to be. My life ought to be a representation of what Jesus did while he was on the earth, and that was glorify God. Can I get an amen? Man alive, praise the Lord. Now, let me read the last part of this verse here, and then we'll offer salvation to anybody that's listening by radio or internet. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become, listen to this, the righteousness of God in him. You know, I want to say something too, as we're doing this. You know, when you come to a Bible class with me or anything like that, all I got to do is open these verses of scripture up and read them, and the Holy Spirit will lead me the way he wants me to be led. And the Holy Spirit will take these verses and manifest them to you and show them to you. See, that's another thing that's bizarre to me. And I know this is one of the things Teresa harps on all the time, and I try to be kind of a mediator about it. But you're telling me there's not other people that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit that have read the Bible that can't put this information out to people and let God speak to them through the Word of God? I was talking to a guy, and I like him, and he's a good guy, and he's a minister, and he's a genuine minister. I was going to meet with him on a Saturday about something, and he's a preacher. Now, listen to this now. And this is going to sound kind of strange, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. He said, oh, I can't meet anybody on Saturday. I have to study all day to get my sermon ready. Now, listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That's honorable, and that's a good thing. And depending on how he means it, I can understand that. And I need to be studying myself. I need to be reading the scriptures myself. And I told you, I confess to you that through this epistle-like thing, I kind of got away from my own personal study. But my point is this. You could put me, bless God, in the middle of a church service and hand me a Bible and give me 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21, and I'm off and running. That's my point. That's my point. We don't have to get all concerned that we don't have enough to say. God's put it on the inside of his ministers, of his teachers, what the word of God says, and all we got to do is say it. We're Christ's ambassadors. God's making his appeal through us. Be reconciled to God. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the answer for our problems. You got to get back to the one true God, to his son, Jesus Christ. You got to receive him, and then you become the righteousness of God in him, and you receive a new nature. Let me share this with you. When this happens to you, and you stay committed and connected to it, do you know something? It'll take racism out of your heart. You won't think you're better than any other person because of your skin color. That don't even occur to me now that I'm a new creature. I don't for one moment think I'm better than anybody else because I'm white. See, and that left me when I became a new creature. See, there's certain things that I don't want to do. I mean, I hung around at that golf course, and there were people that got there at that golf course, and they drank beer from the moment they got there till they left. Now, I wouldn't have been opposed to me drinking a beer or two, but I wouldn't want to sit there and get drunk. You know why? Because I don't want to get drunk. I'm telling you, I have voted for conservative principles ever since I've been a new creature in Christ, and nobody had to convince me to vote that way. That's what's on the inside of me. I'm a new creature. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm aligned with the things of God. Can I get an amen? That's how we're going to fix the America. And we may not ever get it fixed the way we had it in the past, because the Bible teaches in the epistles that the evil times are going to get worse and worse, but there's going to still be a remnant of people that are going to tell people the good news, that are going to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and God's going to make his appeal through us. So if you're listening by radio or internet, and you're going to hear Kenny Chesney or Jake Owens, and instead you've heard this sermon and the Holy Spirit spoke to you, I'm imploring you. That's the word that Paul used in the epistles. I'm imploring you, be reconciled with God. And when we talk about God, we're talking about the one true God. The God of the Bible is the one true God. Be reconciled to him. He made Jesus sin. Jesus paid for our sins. He paid for your sins and my sins so we could become righteous, so we could become his children. So be reconciled to him. As many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Just say this prayer with me. Say, dear God, I want to be reconciled to you. I'm receiving Jesus Christ because you sent him to be the reconciliator. I confess Jesus as Lord. I believe he lived, he died, and he rose again in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you've passed from death to life. You've got a new nature. You need to, I'm telling you right now, the most important thing you can do. And listen, this is a great opportunity for you. You can go on my Facebook page. You can go on the Life in Christ Ministry Facebook page. You can go to our website, lifeinchristchurch.net, and you can start following along with us as we study the Gospel of John together. And you'll never regret discovering what's happened to you and discovering who Jesus Christ really is. In Jesus is life, and that life is the light of men. And so get your hands on a Bible. Let's start studying the Gospel of John together. Tomorrow we're going to get into chapter 1, probably stay there for a couple of days. You'll discover about the greatest life ever lived. And that life is the life that everybody has to discover in order to experience eternal life. Because eternal life is knowing the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we thank you for the avenues that's been created for us to get this information to people so we can be your ambassadors. In the holy and glorious name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.